Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate
vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. 34. Tadvidhi pranipatena.
Tadvidhi pranipatena.
Pariprashnena
sevaya.
Upadekshyanti te jnanam.
Upadekshyanti te jnanam.
Jnaninas tattva darshinaha.
Jnaninas tattva darshinaha.
Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Purport, the path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. The Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of disciplic succession from the Lord himself. No one can be a bona fide spiritual master without following this principle of disciplic succession. The Lord is the original spiritual master, and a person in the disciplic succession can convey the message of the Lord as it is to his disciple. No one can be spiritually realized by manufacturing his own process, as is the fashion of the foolish pretenders. The Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, Text 19, says, Dharmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. The path of religion is directly enunciated by the Lord. Therefore, mental speculation or dry arguments cannot help lead one to the right path. Nor by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant, without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master, and when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses the disciple with genuine spiritual understanding. In this verse, both blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Not only should one hear submissively from the spiritual master, but one must also get a clear understanding from him in submission and service and inquiries. A bona fide spiritual master is by nature very kind toward the disciple. Therefore, when the student is submissive and is always ready to render service, the reciprocation of knowledge and inquiries becomes perfect. I'll just read one quote from Srila Prabhupada. When he was initiating Ambarish Das, who's a well-known figure in ISKCON, being the great-grandson of Henry IV. So one thing Srila Prabhupada said during that lecture is that initiation means the beginning of Acharya Upasanam. This is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita as one of the symptoms of knowledge, Acharya Upasanam, to worship the Acharya. So the idea is that one may respect a spiritual person, but taking initiation means to become really serious. There's casual respect and there is submission, and the real worship begins, serious worship begins with initiation. Srila Prabhupada spoke on the subject of guru and disciple extensively, maybe more than previous acharyas did. One reason for this is that, or we can understand that, is because, as I was mentioning earlier this morning, this culture of guru and disciple is practically unknown in the Western world. There are teachers, we're just sitting opposite a school, and of course within human society there are always teachers, even before the days of the advanced industrial and post-industrial, as they call it, society. There were teachers, that the concept of, or the practice of apprenticeship was very much part of life in England, even before the Industrial Revolution. Did you go through an apprenticeship as an engineer? They don't have that anymore. That they don't have that anymore. You just get a degree and then you get a job.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
No experience, no training.
You have to pick it up as you go along. But the apprenticeship, well, for doctors they still have to do that, and internship, and for lawyers also, they have to be. They get their degree and then they have to practice under someone before they can independently practice. And for a doctor to be able to be a fully recognized doctor, he has to practice under someone else. It's a good idea when you're dealing with such a vital and complex subject as someone's physical health or mental health or both. But that system was there, and at least until recently, there'd be a printing technologist apprentice, or a butcher's apprentice. That's not very nice. But anyway, the example is given. You'd train under someone who's experienced and expert. So teaching is there. But guru is not exactly the same. Often in our modern ISKCON we talk about spiritual guide or spiritual teacher. Srila Prabhupada always used the term spiritual master. There's a lot of difference between being a spiritual guide and, or the whole concept of a spiritual guide or a spiritual teacher and a spiritual master. There's very different terms there. Yeah. Someone guides you? Okay, thanks a lot. How do you get from here to Stockport? Well, you go down the road, take the first left, take a right, come to the third roundabout, and somebody guide you. Okay, thank you. That's all. That's all you have to say. Thank you is enough. And if someone guides you as a teacher is more, or guide, the idea of a guide means that more or less you know what you're doing, but you got pretty much an idea of where you're going, but someone needs to just help you along the way. Teacher. Yeah, in the modern age, a teacher is not much appreciated, and not much appreciable either, in many cases. I don't want to lambast the whole profession or the whole class of teachers. In India, until recently, the teacher was very highly respected, I mean, even in the schools, because the idea was that it's a guru, it's teaching you. But that culture is gone with so much else of the culture. Teacher nowadays means it's a job. I couldn't. They say if you can't do something properly, then teach it. If you can't get a job as an engineer, then you teach engineering, for instance. Have you heard that saying before? Yeah. If you can't actually do it, then you teach someone else. If you can't actually qualify to do the job properly. That may be a bit harsh also. And some teachers may be concerned with that their pupils, they pass the exam and they want to help them learn, but it's very, very different from being a spiritual master, in which one submits. Shishasteham shadhimang tvang prapannam. Arjuna submitted to Krishna. I'm confused, I'm bewildered, I don't have faith in myself that I can work things out, so I have to place my faith in you. Srila Prabhupada often quoted Sanatana Goswami approaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kayami Kenayame Jare Tapatre. Came on a hit. Why am I suffering? Who am I? Why am I suffering the threefold miseries in this material world? Ihana hijani came on a hitohoi. I don't know what is for my benefit. I'm in a situation of total ignorance. The spiritual master, that I read those verses this morning. Avicharaniya, the guru's order is not to be considered. Just do it. The guru tells, do it. The boys in the ashram, in the gurukul, guru tells them, send, they do it. And it's expected they'll follow. The guru instructs in such a way that it's just completely expected that the disciple will follow. It's not that, do it yourself, lazy old fool. Which might, in the modern child-to-parent relationship, that it can be like that. This is not culture. This is not human life. What to speak of the spiritual exchange. I'll read another quote from Srila Prabhupada. Of course, there are many, many, many quotes from Srila Prabhupada about this. This is... also from the initiation ceremony of Ambarish Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada explaining what is the role. There are many facets to it. Of course, the disciple is supposed to surrender. You might think, phew, that's pretty intense. But why does he do that? He gets back more than he gives. So you give yourself completely, then what do you get back? What can you get back? Well, you get the guru, who's more than you. Because he's supposed to give himself to you and to give Krishna. That's the point. Jaha hoite Krishna bhakti shei guru hoi. That's the definition of guru given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not so well known. It's from Chaitanya Charitamrita. From whom we get Krishna bhakti. That person is the guru. So here's another quote from that lecture by Srila Prabhupada on the occasion of initiating Ambarish Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada said, I have given this example. Just like you are asking for honey and I give you a bottle of honey. And you think that I've now got the honey. Now let me lick up the bottle. Someone may say, someone doesn't know what honey is. What is honey? Oh, honey is a thing you lick, and it tastes very nice. So he said, someone says, okay, give me some honey. So he gives a bottle of honey. He doesn't know what it is. He thinks, oh, he gave me honey, so I should lick it. Okay, he starts licking the bottle from the outside. No one told him that he had to open the bottle or the jar and lick the honey inside. So he says, I've got the honey, now let me lick the bottle. So the honey is, Srila Prabhupada said, so honey is there in his hand, but he does not know how to taste it. He is licking on the bottle. So how will he taste it? So licking of the bottle of honey is not tasting. The contents, the honey, real honey, if it is open and if you take, then you will get taste. So to whom it is open to the bona fide disciple by the bona fide spiritual master. Otherwise, you go on for millions of years licking on the honey bottle. You'll never taste what is honey. Now, we've probably all heard this example before. The way Srila Prabhupada presents it here is profound. The idea is that Krishna consciousness, it's there. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Shadha Kabu Noi. It is, Krishna Prema is there in everyone's heart. It's our natural birthright. Everyone is constitutionally connected with Krishna. Jivesha Rupai Krishna Nitya Das. Connected with Krishna as a servant. It's our natural position. We're right there. Well, not quite, because we don't know how to contact Krishna. Even if you have the bottle of honey, but you don't know that you're supposed to open the bottle and then you can access the honey. You don't know. So you it's there, but it might as well not be there, because we don't know how to access it. So we are meant for eternal, blissful life. Everyone wants eternal, blissful life. No one wants to die. Well, some people want to die because their life is so miserable. But everyone wants to be happy, and eternally happy. That is the aspiration of every living being. But we don't know. We don't know how to get that happiness. So Srila Prabhupada has given this example of the honey bottle. It's, give the bottle and then explain. Now you have, this is how you access. So Srila Prabhupada continues, this is a good example. Well, as a disciple, I shouldn't disagree with my guru, but I agree. It's a very good example. Srila Prabhupada continues, don't think, now I have got the bottle of honey, let me lick it up. So, go on for hundreds and thousands of years licking up, but you will never know what is honey. This is the process. It must be opened by the authorized person, and you must really taste it. Someone may ask, are you happy? Yeah, I'm happy. Yeah, I'm happy. But they don't know what is actual happiness. I'm happy. Srila Prabhupada sometimes gave the example. Someone visits a patient in the hospital, his whole body is bandaged up, it's lying on the bed, he can just open his eyes and move his mouth to speak, and how are you? I'm feeling quite good today. It's ridiculous. If he's good, feeling good, then why is he in the hospital? But he's feeling good means maybe a little less pain than yesterday. Oh, I'm feeling good today. So it's positive spirit, positive thinking, yes. You should think positively thinking about this material world is not a good idea, because it's not a positive place. As you mentioned earlier in your lecture, it is dukhalayam ashashvatam. It is a place of misery. And even if we're foolish enough to think, I'm happy, it won't remain. Everything will change. Everything deteriorates in this material world. Srila Prabhupada continues. You'll never know what's... This is the process. It must be opened by the authorized person. And you must really taste it. Then you will understand what is honey when you taste it. Unless you have taken the purport of the Vedic literatures through the disciplic succession, you will never understand it. It will remain a mystery like the honey within the bottle. So initiation means to learn how to open the bottle. It's all connected with initiation. Otherwise, people have so many theories, so many philosophies, so many philosophies. It's unbelievable how many philosophies. There's a bottle of honey. So many philosophies can be made about a bottle of honey, or so many speculations. Where did this bottle of honey come from? A UFO landed. A UFO came from Mu, and out of it jumped some people, and they gave us a bottle of honey. That's one theory. Someone else said, no. Someone was pooping the other day, and it came out their backside. It's another theory. It's possible, it's not impossible. Not very likely, but it's not impossible. Someone else may say that, the woman in the house, she had a cesarean operation and she had a bottle of honey inside her stomach along with the baby. You can make all kinds of, this sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? All of these things sound ridiculous. Well, pretty much all the philosophies that people dream up are ridiculous also. They don't know. They're just speculating. They don't have a clue actually about what is the goal of life and how to attain it. Sadhya sadhana tattva iha nahi jani. Sanatana Goswami also said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is the goal of life and how to attain it? I don't know. He's honest, he admits, I don't know. So you can go on speculating for millions of years unless we get proper knowledge from the disciplic succession. So initiation means to learn how to open the bottle. This is it. Now we got it. Now we got the right direction, what to do. Then you open the bottle and lick it and then become nourished, take nourishment in Krishna consciousness. So there's so many quotes from Srila Prabhupada on so many topics, and it may sound very simple, it's a very simple example, but if we look into it more, we'll find more and more nectar and sweetness in this particular instance. It's an example about honey. About 3 years ago, I was on this, each year the devotees from Soho Street take a boat ride on the Thames with their donors. It's an evening out on Sunday, it's a summer evening. So I was there and I was giving a talk on the boat to the prominent donors. And I said, in the course of my talk, I said, there's no sweetness in this material world. And just I saw on the right-hand side, we were going past the Tate and Lyle warehouse. You're not English, you don't know. Tate and Lyle? Tate and Lyle is the big sugar company in England. So, Tate and... Well, there is some sweetness. There's Tate and Lyle sugar products. But that won't satisfy the soul. When we're talking about sweetness, we're not talking about that gooey, syrupy, supposed sweetness that these bogus gurus serve up. The real sweetness comes from surrender. One has to accept a spiritual master who will instruct. I'm personally very concerned with instructing. I don't do much in the West, actually. I do it more. I'm talking about instructing in the details of devotional service. These are important. Exactly. Just like this morning. Did you say to Jimmy, I'd ask you to say?
Okay.
No, okay. So Jimmy was asked to sing Mangalam. I told Sankirtan Prabhu to do it because I told him how. You picked it up when you were in Salem, or what is that?
From
myself directly.
From
the
Kirtan.
From the Kirtan. And Jai Veda Maharaj. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada had a very specific way he wants Mangalarti sung. Most devotees in our movement don't know it. I don't know if you know it or not, but I know that Sankirtan Prabhu knows it, so I bumped you off and had him. Bumped you off means I asked you not to sing, and I had Sankirtan Prabhu sing it. But I don't try to, that's just one of many, many things, but I don't try to train so many things everywhere I go because I would go mad and you would go mad if I did. But in certain centers, I do so. And then there are many, many details of devotional service which help us to be Krishna conscious. So I'm interested in giving that training. I'm not able to do for In places like this where I don't go much, you could call some devotees who know all these things. If you want to learn all these, there's a pronunciation, so many things to learn. Of course, the most basic things are the chanting 16 rounds, following four regulated principles. That's the minimum requirement that Srila Prabhupada gave for initiation. But actually initiation is not just that. Or what is the essence? What is the essence of initiation? Is it the four regulated principles? No. Srila Prabhupada wrote in a letter in 1969, "We prescribe to our students no illicit sex life, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, but they are not ends in themselves. The real end is how to serve Krishna and sacrifice everything for him." So that's the real essence of initiation. It's not even chanting 16 rounds. That's not the essence of initiation. It's the real end is how to serve Krishna and sacrifice everything for him. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Dikha kale bhakta kare ata shamarpan." At the time of initiation, the devotee completely offers himself in the service of Krishna. Sometimes initiation is called a formality. You may say, "Oh, formality, then you don't need it. It's just a ceremony." What does it mean, initiation is a ceremony, is a formality? The idea is that the ceremony confirms officially one's determination to fully surrender in the service of Krishna. If one is not prepared to do that, there's no meaning to the initiation ceremony. So in that sense, the ceremony is a formality. But of course, if one wants to fully surrender to Krishna, then he should go through this ceremony also, because it's a prescribed part of the process of fully surrendering to Krishna. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I quoted this morning also, he gave this 64 processes of sadhana bhakti. Rupa Goswami included them in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Atagur Guru Padashrayas Tasmat Krishna Dikshanu Shikshanam. So number two in the 64 processes is to take initiation. The first is to take shelter of a guru. That means to have that spirit of surrender. But then the second is to formally take initiation. So that is required. Now, when we hear things that the four regulated principles, they're not ends in themselves, Srila Prabhupada says, then there may be a tendency to minimize these and say, four regulated are not so important. The main thing is to love Krishna. Rules are just tools, but the main thing is to love Krishna. But the rules are also given to us because we don't love Krishna. The rules help us to mold our lives and mold our consciousness so that we can awaken our love for Krishna. That, of course, Krishna consciousness is a gift given from above by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. But the way they give it is by teaching us the process of devotional service as given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and as passed down in disciplic succession. So these four principles are there. I'm just going to speak a little bit about one of them, sometimes called the fourth principle. I don't know why it's called the fourth principle. It could be the first or the second or the third. They're not in any particular order. Of course, in Shastra they're mentioned. Striya is the first mention. Striya, Sunam. Striya means, indicates illicit sexual activity. Now I'm just going to speak on this. It's not particularly relevant to this initiation ceremony, but it is relevant to whoever may wish to be, many devotees who may wish to be initiated in the future, maybe some of those who are initiated now. A little earlier this year, a youngish couple who I was to initiate the next day came to me and said that, well, we've been associating with devotees for 8 years. Youngish couple means married couple, man and wife. They said, we've been associating with devotees for about 8 years, and they're very serious in their practices. They didn't tell me that, but I know that. But we only just heard today that no illicit sex means sexual activity only for procreation of children. We didn't know that. We were told that it just means within, no illicit sex means only within marriage. So devotees should know that. Sexual activity within marriage is always better than outside marriage, which is grossly sinful. But the real standard is that it should be for procreation of children. That's not even Krishna consciousness. What I mean to say is there's not even the standard for devotees, for anyone following dharma, even karmakanda, at the lowest level of following dharma. So that means also no contraception, no abortion. Devotees can understand, artificial contraception is also sinful. It goes against the natural order, and it prevents the birth of a jiva who may otherwise have been destined for a human body. It also means that there cannot be any homosexual activity, because that by its very definition cannot produce children. We don't condemn persons whose sexual orientation is such, but they cannot engage in that proclivity without becoming sinful, and this blocks Krishna consciousness. So all these rules should be followed carefully. This morning I said about drinking tea, it's hardly a sin, but it is a sin in as much as anything is a sin. I mean, we say it's hardly a sin, it's not on the level of taking alcohol, or even tobacco is much worse. It's a minor thing, but it's indulged in for sense gratification, and therefore it has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. It can't be offered to Krishna. So devotees don't take it. So all these rules should be assiduously followed, and that will help us to advance in Krishna consciousness. No meat eating means when you're buying things, be careful. When you're in the stores, Tesco or whatever it is, the best thing is not to buy things like Weetabix, shredded wheat. Those things are still popular, right? Rice Krispies, Kellogg's Corn Flakes. You don't know what's in them.
They're all fortified.
They're all so-called fortified. And they're not obliged to put on the label. Actually, in India, they have a green circle on packets if something's vegetarian. But then I was told about chocolate, that there's chocolate is made, and by the process of making it, so many bugs get crushed in. But they don't have to. There's a level they are allowed to have by the Food and Drug Administration in FDA, Food and Drug Administration, that's supposed to oversee these things. In the United States of America, they're allowed to have something like 8% crushed incense, not more than that. So, well, it might be good for health. But all these arguments, should we take chocolate or not? Well, I think that pretty much sets the seal on it, doesn't it? No chocolate, no gambling, that includes lotteries. What about raffles? Raffles, devotees have raffles, we'll have a... That's also one form of gambling. Srila Prabhupada, when he saw crosswords in the Hare Krishna Explosion magazine from being issued from ISKCON Hyderabad, he saw crosswords. Srila Prabhupada said, this is gambling. Stop that. Sports, what did Srila Prabhupada say? What is the word? Idle sports? What's the term, Srila Prabhupada?
Frivolous
sports, yeah. Frivolous sports. You would say, well, we don't play frivolously, we play very seriously. But it's a diversion. It's really it's a big diversion. Can be big diversion. People get really absorbed in it, and if their football team doesn't win the game, they smash up shops and vehicles, and the shops near to the football ground, they have to put wooden shutters on their windows before the game. I suppose they still must do that, huh? Because there's a high likelihood that out of ardent passion for their football team, the hooligans will break the windows. The real end, Srila Prabhupada said, is how to serve Krishna and sacrifice everything for Him. And that is the essence of initiation. So much can be said about it. I won't say more now. It's an ongoing process. Initiation means to enter Krishna's family. Krishna shangshar karo charyanacha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends you enter Krishna's family. Give up all bad activities. So this is a family event also. Isn't it? Whose family? Yeah?
Well, my brothers here, my sister, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, my wife, my father, and...
I'm getting lost here.
Sorry. That's my niece over there with her glasses.
I
my
see.
Sister's daughter, and that's that's another niece, my brother's daughter. My brother is here.
I see. Some came in from Nairobi, is it? Who came?
Nairobi is... Sonia came in from Nairobi. My sister, Sonia, she came in from Nairobi. My brother-in-law, he came from Nairobi. My father next to him.
Ah, yeah, your father I met yesterday. So, Krishna Shankshakara, make your family Krishna's family. Generally, in spiritual discussions, family life is considered to be maya. Yeah. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Asakta anabhishvanga putra dara grihadishu. One symptom of knowledge is to be detached from sons, putra, dara, wife, home, and the rest, etc. But in Krishna consciousness, you can be in family life and all the family together chanting Hare Krishna and serve Krishna, and then you can all go to Krishna together. So that's one of the many advantages of Krishna consciousness. Often when people take to Krishna consciousness, especially married men, the wife becomes afraid, oh no, what's going to happen? He's going to take sannyas. And who's going to pay the bills? Who's going to look after me? Sannyas may be there, but not in youth. Srila Prabhupada himself became initiated when he was still in early middle age, but he didn't leave his family members. He kept on with his Krishna consciousness. When he was older, he accepted sannyas, when there were sons old enough to look after the wife. But that's also, that may not be for everyone. The point is that everyone, in whatever situation they're in, sthane stita shuti gatang tandubhang manove, in whatever situation we're in, we should dedicate our life to Krishna by hearing and chanting about him and serving him. Hare Krishna. So the formalities can begin now. Chanting of Brahma Sanghita. And then there'll be a yagya. Where's the yagya going to take place? In the next room. Uh-huh. Oh, actually, I have to give the initiation, right? All right. The essence of it, giving the beads and the name, new name. How many names have you had? How many births have we had? How many names have we had? Initiation, one of the things is to get a new name. And the new name signifies one to be a servant of Krishna. So you may be wondering what your name is going to be. I'll tell you right now, it's Dasi. In one initiation ceremony, Srila Prabhupada said that the most important part of the name is Das. Everyone, people become surprised. Someone phones up and says, our Tam says, is Mr. Das there? Well, which one? There are 200 of them here. Oh, it's a very big family. Oh, yeah. So Das and Dasi, that's all. Recently I've been giving mostly names of that Srila Prabhupada gave to his disciples. So I'll do that also today. So you'll get the name of a god sister of mine. So you'll have to come a little close. And how are you going to do this? Usually you're supposed to bow down. Yeah, you help us. Supposed to bow down, but it might be a bit difficult here. Do whatever you can. If you can't physically bow down, then do the best you can. So, you're very fortunate to have a... Yeah, put that on. You're very fortunate to have a son, very good son, who can guide you toward Krishna consciousness. That's the real meaning of putra. Putra means one who delivers the parents from hell. So this whole material world is hell. So a real putra is one who can guide. Actually, the parents are supposed to guide, and in many ways have done. It's a pious family, no doubt. But to get that contact with pure devotional service, as Srila Prabhupada delivered on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world, that's very great fortune which your son has given to you. So please tell me the four principles. And minimum how many rounds to be chanted daily? All right. So the name is, your name is, Hera Panchami Dasi. If you can't remember it, I'll write it down for you later. Who knows what this is, Hera Panchami? Anyone reading Chaitanya Charitamrita? Anyone? No? It's a festival day. Panchami, you can understand, means fifth. So there are two Panchamis in a month. So just like we may give the name to someone, Janmashtami, Radhashtami, Gaura Purnima, so Hera Panchami is the name Srila Prabhupada gave to one of his disciples. It's the festival which comes just after Rath Yatra, and it's celebrated in Puri. With the Lakshmi Devi comes out of the temple of Jagannath to chase him. He's run away to Gundicha. So she comes and she's very angry. And anyway, you can see it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the servants of Lakshmi, they beat the servants of Jagannath, even to the present day. They give them a good thrashing with sticks. And then she comes and chases him back to his own temple. It's described there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Hare Krishna.